Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm joined this afternoon by Chris, who, if I'm not mistaken, is the winner of the 2014 Traveled the Farthest to the Bridgewalk Award.
I had no idea. Thank you, Jen. Yeah, I had no idea that that was true. That's great to hear.
Don't you think? I think because I was just doing the math, I don't think we had anyone from out of the country. And while you weren't the only one to get on an airplane, you did come clear across the country. So I
did.
Maybe.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, you should put your name in the running at least.
Right. I mean, maybe we'll do miles flown next year instead of steps.
Yeah, exactly.
Although environmentally, that may not be so great. So maybe we ought to stick with steps. It's probably healthier, too. So.
Yeah, I think so. I think actually you're right. I think it's better all the way around.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
maybe I'll walk next year, so that'll do it.
that would give us our 52 million or close right there, wouldn't it? So a couple of the reasons we thought it would be really fun to have you on to share with the rest of the Sangha who weren't able to be with us in person how the day went was that I know it wasn't your first bridge walk, was it?
No, this was my second, actually.
Yeah.
I think the first one was about 9 years ago, something like that.
Was it that long? Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
So it's always fun to get that sort of fresh perspective, you know, someone who's coming in to see it again from after many, many years, but also that you were our steps master the day of.
That's right.
Had, I think maybe the most exciting role of the whole day, really.
It was very fun, I must admit, to have the bird's eye view of the steps as they were rolling in as people were coming up to me and letting me know what steps they'd walked and to kind of watch the tally as it moved along.
Mm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that process and then maybe give us the big number.
Okay. When I got there, my assignment was to, as people were arriving, they would be finding me and giving me their steps, anything that had not been emailed before. And so that was in process at the beginning. And then I was to tally those up and then add those to the base number, which is everything that had arrived via email prior to that. And that was somewhere in the 46 million steps range,
which is
very impressive to start
with. It was very impressive. And I just, because that's another really inspiring goosebumps piece of it for me, was that the person who was monitoring that email address was saying, we had sent out two or three emails encouraging people, don't forget, one more day for your steps, two more. And she said it was so much fun to receive those emails and so inspiring. And she was just watching those numbers build. I think at the beginning of that process, I don't want to misquote, but we had something like 19 million, and that was
that's what I remember from the emails, yeah.
That had jumped up from the week before by a ton, and that's when I said, oh, I know we have way more steps out there, and that's in this Sangha. We need to get those steps in, and that's when we decided to do that email to remind people, send them in. And so then, lo and behold, by the morning of the walk, we had those 46 million.
46 mil, and then people reported in another approximately 4 million steps that had not been sent via email. So prior to the bridge walk, an announcement was made that we were at 50 million and we needed 2 million more steps, which I was doing the math a little bit. I think that was like 100 people, 10 miles each. So it was kind of a long shot for the group of people that was there. And then we did the walk and came back. And people were reporting in their numbers from the bridge walk. And then it really looked like we'd be a little bit short. And then there were a couple of late entries. People came up to me. They found me and essentially said, I haven't turned in any of these steps since August, since I started in August. And I've got this many. And in the end, it was just enough to push us over the 52 mil. So 52 million, I think 177,010 is where the final count ended up. So
that's the fourth time I've heard the story, and I've gotten goosebumps every time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, how the the energy of that intention kept us all going just enough to hit that number.
Yeah. So. And you know, so that was Saturday. We all came back to the monastery and had group discussion on Sunday morning. And one of the points I just loved that someone made was to realize, I mean, so the final number was 52,172,000. I mean, truly, you could think we're making that up, right? But that was the number. And the point on Sunday that was made of, it took all of us. It truly did. And I stopped and looked at that for myself and realized, I mean, I sent in many, many hundreds of thousands of steps over the course of those weeks. And to realize...
Yes.
I needed to do all of those in order for us to get to the 52 million. It was just so much fun to realize that.
Yeah, it's really great, isn't it?
I
could see the very same thing, that every step that everyone made counted big time. So congratulations to all of us.
Yeah, exactly. A big congratulations to all of us, and that's part of why I couldn't wait to get on the phone tonight, because, you know, there were the 100 plus people at the walk who now have the news, and soon we'll be sending out an email to the whole. It's, you know, so great to get to say to everyone, quote, in person, if you will. It's not exactly in person, but a little bit more than an email. Just thank you, and a huge, as you say, congratulations, and what a superb participation on all of our parts.
Yeah. I think, as Sherry said too, that there isn't anything that this small, dedicated group of people cannot do.
Truly.
Yeah.
So what about other impressions of the walk, Chris? What else did you notice?
Well, I thought it was really fabulous. I had a grand day, and I really enjoyed all the various ways that one could participate. So there was a raffle, which was very fun. People were coming and putting donated items on the table, and then people buying tickets. And it was done in, I thought, a really fun way, that you could put it, when you bought raffle tickets, you could put your ticket with the item that you wanted. So you could kind of stack the deck a little bit if you had.
Exactly, which people did. Great.
Which it looked like people did. And I noticed a number of the kids were coming around, and they figured out ways to get $5 or something like that, and they were putting in the tickets in the ones they wanted. And so that was very fun, and just some great fun energy, and I think the drumming was really fabulous too. We were led by, and I can't remember the person's name, Jen.
His name is David.
David just took us through some really simple steps, and the first thing was everybody got a drum. And
I know.
A big drum. If you wanted a big drum, you could have a big drum. And so some really simple instructions that everyone could follow along, and that we could all be playing together. I thought that was really grand.
It was really fun. You know what I loved about that too was the part where, you know, he's sort of building up to more and more complex things, and we're doing a call and response. He plays it, we play it, he plays it, we play it.
That's right.
And he gets to the one where I project what always happens is that's the place where the audience loses it, you know, and he plays it, and we all play it, and he just looks at us like, whoa, you weren't supposed to be able to play that.
Yeah, that was very fun. We just sat there and shook our heads and went, we're that kind of a group. You name it, we can accomplish it. So,
we know how to pay attention. I love that too, the raffle, the drumming, and then even the stations, you know, the beautiful things that several folks in the Sangha had made. I mean, reminder bracelets were there to purchase. Beautiful heart cards that had been made, and then some product that's made out of chitenge that a woman in the Sangha takes and just kind of does these really fun, unique mixings out of them, hats and that sort of thing. So just all those different stations that you could spend time at.
Yeah. And then, you know, all those lit up people too, Jen.
People
participating in all those different ways. Weather was gorgeous, you know, bright blue sky, big sun, and a little breeze. So, fabulous.
Yeah. And then we had a fun addition to the walk this year where we invited people to bring a children's book. And we had some digital recorders there and had people read the book that they brought into the recorder which we're then going to bring next month when we go to Cantalumba. We're going to bring the books to the kids so they can listen
wow.
to folks in the Sangha reading the books to them, which I just love.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
Uh-oh, Chris. I think we lost you.
Yep.
You're back
Did
now,
I
think.
Am I here? Okay.
Yeah, you're here.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I can.
Yeah,
now I can.
Participation just keeps right on going.
Yeah, we missed that last sentence, but something keeps right on going.
That participation in those reading those children's stories, you know, the energy
exactly.
of the bridge walk will be just transmitted across the ocean and end up enriching many more lives.
And you know what, Chris? Mm-hmm. I just thought of, I had not thought of this until you just said that, which is that. And then the kids listen to those recordings,
uh-huh.
learn that reading, and then one day they'll record it, that same book, and we'll bring it back here for people.
Oh,
to listen.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fun.
I can't wait for that.
Okay, I'm going to add that to my trip list. So, yeah, excellent. Oh, and, of course, to announce that we exceeded our fundraising goal. So we had... decided that we wanted to raise at least $65,000, which was enough to continue the project for 6 months and to expand into the next things we want to do. So we're bringing on two more English teachers, and we're expanding the English program itself and doing the field trips. And I don't want to go on too long because we're at the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll do another show on that probably around the trip to Zambia. But we have great ambitions for this coming year. And not only did we get that $65,000, but we got quite a bit more. So we're up at the over $90,000 range with more money still coming in.
Wow.
So
yeah,
huge
so good,
success.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for being with us, Chris.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you, too.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Well, I love that. I love the bridge walk. I loved everything about it. I loved everything, all the same things that they loved. I loved it all. But sitting here listening to this, I've got that same just really challenging clicking on the phone that was on last time. It's actually not quite as loud now that you and I are talking, but it's challenging. So I'm hoping that it's not going to be with us this time, and that if it is, that while we're doing what we're doing and other people are chatting with us and that sort of thing, that people behind the scenes will be trying to figure out what that is, because it's disturbing.
I can hear it myself, and I switched phones also. So we will see what we can find out here behind the scenes.
Okay. All right. Start. Yeah, good. All right, I bet you have announcements. Oh, well, let me ask you first. Did you have fun at the walk?
I had a wonderful time.
You looked like you were having fun, I got to tell you.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. Uh-huh. I loved all of it, just like Jen and Chris were talking about. The drums were a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed the leader of the drums. He really seemed to capture what we go for in practice, and that was really wonderful.
Yeah. And like everybody else, I thought it was really fun to watch him get that. You're an unusual group, aren't you? you actually listen and you pay attention and you do what I ask you to do. That's amazing. And of course, the walk across the bridge. I've never seen anything like it. That was the most spectacular, clear, pristine day in the history of clear, pristine days.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So,
gorgeous.
Next year. So what's coming up that you can tell us about?
What's coming up is a new session of Stop, Drop, and Text, which is now open for registration. Actually, I think it's been open for at least a week. And there's a limited number of spots, which are filled on a first-come, first-served basis. So sign up as soon as possible.
All right.
And we've opened registration for an additional retreat on October 20th through 27th. There will be one more chance to participate in the transformational There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, now's the time to sign up for our next email class, which is entitled Project Joy. Enjoy the joy of intelligence, knowing itself with the support of science.
And come and spend the day with me in Felton?
Yes, indeed. October 25th, Saturday, October 25th.
Mm-hmm.
All this and more at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Aha!
And
a good address to visit.
Yes, frequently. And a couple of reminders to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry. Press *6 and then 1. And if you can focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, and we'll be able to include everybody. So, let's get started here. Let me just get the technology sorted out here. Okay, I think the system has reset everyone who raised their hand. So if you would re-raise your hand again, that would be helpful because I think that system here just cleared everybody out.
It's just you and me, Michael.
No, I mean just from raising their hands, Bart. They're still here. All their hands got pushed down, unfortunately. Okay. All right. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
How are you?
I am doing well. Things are going so well, Sherry. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad. I've been thinking about you a lot because recently I got a little notification, finally made it to me, about the little open house or whatever you call it for your new clinic.
Yes, yes. And so the office is going well. The I had a gratitude reception to thank all the people that helped me get it started and everything, and it was very nice. And a lot of people came out, but it takes a whole lot of people to help open a medical practice. And I've been very blessed to have so many people on my team and helping me throughout the way. So it's been great.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. It's because I have a little sense of what was involved in that. And so I'm glad it's going well.
It is going well, very well.
Good. And how about you?
Oh, I am doing well. I'm so grateful for practice, and I haven't called in a while, and so I wanted to touch base, and but things have been going well. And there is something that's kind of popped up that I've been recording and listening around that I wanted to kind of discuss with you and get your input.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay. And so practice is going well, and the office practice is going well. In the time that I took time off, I went through a lot of change. And now being back in active practice, I realized just how much I've changed kind of my outlook on things, and particularly the practice of medicine and the disease process and what goes on. And I find that a lot of people, a lot of patients, really it's stress and getting bamboozled by conditioning that gets them out of doing some of the healthy things that they can do. And it can be pretty devastating. And in looking at that, I was interested in offering just something for patients that kind of like a 6-week course or something about some mindfulness-based stress reduction. type of thing. And that's actually how I got into medication, into meditation, was continuing medical education about mindfulness-based stress reduction. And that got me down this road back in 2006 type of thing. And there's a lot of energy around it. And I recorded around a lot because I was concerned or even suspicious that conditioning may be pushing me to do this when it may not be something that I should be doing type of thing. And so that's where it is. And there's a lot of energy around it. But when I look at just getting credentialed to actually teach something like that or do an 8-week course, it's very involved. And I've just opened a practice and I really don't have the time to do some of those things or even be away from my practice. And I'm suspicious that conditioning is pushing it and making it feel like an urgent matter when it may be something that could be long-term and helping me in my own personal practice, but also offering people something basic that for people who generally aren't exposed to meditation, awareness practice, or meditation for stress reduction and for health reasons.
So rather than, yes, I'm right there with you. So it would be arguing for you to do that because that would be kind of an overload for you. So you would probably push you into some of the stress that you'd be attempting to help other people out of.
Yes, and it would push me into some stress. And there are a couple of things that come up when, you know, conditioning is messing with this idea. One is that in order to continue having practice involving everything that I do and having practice be everything, including work, I can put more practice into work. And offering something like that would not only help others perhaps, potentially, but it would also help me clarify and practice even more type of thing. And so that's what it gets him. But on the flip side, it also talks about the time involved and things like that. And so in recording and listening, I've called it the duality kind of trap, arguing both sides of the issue type of thing. And so the basic thing that I feel is that I can offer more for patients, and there's data regarding mindfulness-based stress reduction. That's why I would go with that. But I could offer more that you can't do in the traditional medical setting type of thing. And and medicine tells you need to reduce your stress and you need to do this, that, and the other, but it doesn't tell you how. Type of thing. But I've called it in some tricks of the sense of urgency that it has to be done now. Tricks such as duality, where I catch myself going pros and cons, and I just let that go and drop it. And so I think that there's a core, perhaps, good idea to it, but I also know that there's a lot of energy around it that conditioning is co-opting for its use.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So let me ask you this, Rochelle. What is it that they do in that that practice that would be different from what we do?
It is not very different from what we do, the reason that I would do that is mainly because of the data. It's something I'm offering in the setting of healthcare. And they do have data regarding patients with chronic pain, hypertension, migraines, depression, stress, and things like that. And so the reason I would do something like that would be basically because of the data, because I am in the profession. And
so you're kind of required to be certified before you offer something like that?
Well, now that's an interesting question because, yes, if you're offering to patients as something to help with their medical condition, then you are required. What is happening is that I've had patients I've had for a long time, and they've seen me before and seen me after, and they're like, wow, you know, you seem so happy, and you're doing all this stuff and energized and things like that, and seem to have blossomed over this past couple of years. What are you doing? And give me more information. So I've given your book to a lot of people, the 30-day retreat, and so I give them that. And there are people who approach me who have learned through the grapevine that I meditate and approach me about, I want to learn more about meditation. I would really like to know more about that type of thing. And so that's where that's coming from. It is not different than what we do.
But the stumbling block is the fact that you're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if people come up to
exactly.
one of your, anybody else, and, you know, then that person could say, sure, I can help you learn to meditate. But for you, it's going to become a medical situation.
Exactly. And there's just some credentialing hoops that you always have to jump through, which I'm you know, that's another part of the conversation is that, you know, do I have to jump through these hoops? And I've jumped through so many in my career and things. But if I'm going to offer it to patients whose exposure to me is basically as patients as an alternative to medication for their pain or their things, then I need to be credentialed some sort of way. But if the core of it is not different than what we do. Type of thing. The only reason I would go through that is because I'm a physician, and yes, that's a stumbling block.
Yeah. Hey, Rochelle, hang on just one second.
Yes,
oh, dear. Michael?
Yes.
I've called in on a landline, and the clicking does seem to be me, but now on this line, there's an echo.
Well, yeah. See,
can
I didn't
you hear
think
the
it
echo?
Was, I cannot hear the echo. And I didn't think it was you clicking because I had you muted during the good news update.
Yeah. Okay.
But, so, yeah.
Never mind.
Ashwini is checking into the calling start meeting to see if she can find a solution there.
All right. Well, then we'll just go on with clicking and hang up on echoing.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, Rochelle. So where does that leave you? How much can you do without stepping into problems? Because, of course, you know, the recording and listening, there's no way you can get certified in that because there's no certification. To me, that's as supportive for most people as anything. And yet, it seems like you would run into the same issue with that of giving people advice, and then is it medical advice or not, and are you responsible, and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
I wonder, is there anybody else in your area who is certified to do that sort of training that you could send these folks to?
Yes, there is. It's a little bit of distance from my practice, but yes, there are. There is a family practice physician who is certified in the next town over. And they do offer periodically at the area health education centers 8-week courses. You meet 2 hours a week for 8 weeks, and then you have a day retreat, a silent day retreat. And they offer that periodically here in the area. It's targeted toward healthcare professionals and things like that. It can be cost prohibitive for some people. And that was the other goal, is something to offer as an introduction that wasn't cost prohibitive.
Don't you love it that people are making big money off of what the Buddha gave everybody for free?
Exactly. And, you know, I would do it for free because it's
yeah, why not?
Why not? The information is universal, is out there, type of thing. And in particular for my patient population, I mean, I don't, you know, want to tax them unnecessarily. I mean, healthcare costs are already crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're in Charlotte, I believe. And so if somebody contacts us in Charlotte who has that training, we'll let you know. How about that?
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
It'd be, at least it would be a great interim step. And then as settle down for you, if you decide that you do want to put energy into getting certified in that way, then there you go. One-stop shopping for them.
Yeah.
And I can only guess you're mighty busy just dealing with the patients you have in a traditional way. Probably be nice if somebody else could take them through the stress reduction part of the program.
Exactly. And I am very fortunate because it is very busy.
Yeah, that's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a nice problem to have. And kind of the same thing with Sangha. It seems like we're riding the same wave to some degree because patients are asking for this type of thing. There really are. There's a hunger for it. I don't bring it up or anything like that, but there are people that ask about it. Type of thing, techniques, what can I do to, you know, help stop my mind from racing and, that type of thing.
How can I calm down? Yeah, and of course, probably we share this perspective that it's a shame that so many people assume that it's a drug they take rather than it's our authentic nature that we've gotten out of balance with. And we can get in balance with that and be fine.
Exactly. Well, and that's the other thing. When we talk about medicine and options, I mean, I say let's use medicine or surgery as a last option, and let's think about some things that we can change or techniques that we can use, some awareness about when, you know, you have this pain or when you have this sensation and what's going on, rather than turning to medicine as the first line.
Yeah.
And that's a different approach for a lot of people because a lot of times there's not a lot of conversation and there's more prescription writing. And so I spend a lot of time with patients doing that. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're out there. Glad you're bringing a different approach. We need it.
Thank
we all need it. Yeah.
Well, thank you for all your support. And my goodness, thanks to the whole Sangha for all the support out there. I'm still here. I don't get to call it, but I'm still here and still plugging away at it.
All right. Well, it's good. It's great to hear your voice.
Take care
and stay in touch as you can.
I sure will. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, there's some furious texting going on behind the scenes here.
Oh, okay.
We're still working on it.
All right. Thank you.
And if you're up for another caller, we have more callers here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Till.
This is who?
Hello? Till, T-I-L-L.
Till, how are you?
pretty good.
Good. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, what's going on? The usual, pretty much. Working, eating, sleeping. I'm mostly calling because I said I would call. And, I usually have my sports class on Tuesday night, so that kind of slipped my attention to call, and then today I didn't go because I did have a little bit of a headache, and then my girlfriend suggested to call Sherry, and then I heard the voice, oh no, I really don't feel like it, and I don't know what to talk about, so I said, okay, I really ought to call.
Very good. Well, tell me how practice is going.
Practice is going right, I guess. I mean, it really helps to have the awareness coach now. Yeah. That's been really good. And so I'm getting more into recording and listening. And, yeah. And I don't know what to say.
Well, Till, let me ask you this.
Yes?
What is it about having an awareness coach that is making a difference?
Yeah, good question. I think it's like with the email classes, it really helps me to have like an assignment and kind of to, yeah, to be reporting back on that to mm-hmm. kind of keep me on track. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree that's something that we all need, right?
Mm.
That there's something about the consistency that
yes.
There's something I need to show up for. There's an assignment that I've agreed to do. I'm going to be talking to somebody soon, and they're going to ask me about this, and so I'm supported in showing up in a way that I tend not to if it's just for me. And that's a sad comment, but it seems to be a trait that we all share. You know, if it's only me, it's not worth the effort. But if something mm-hmm. or someone else is involved, then I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. It is a sad comment, but yeah, I totally realized that more and more lately, like before the retreat, when the last email class ended, and then on the retreat, that I really need that structure and support in that way.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, we do. We all do. We all need structure. We all need support. One of the big... aside from distraction, you know, urgency and too busy, which of course we all are, I'll do it later. You know, so I'm going to look at something and later. I'll do that later. And without the support of a structure, you know, for most of us, later just never happens. Well, a day turns into a week, into a month, into a year, and we're just gone and we don't know what happened to us.
Yeah,
so that's good. I'm glad to hear that because I think coaching is such a helpful structure, and I always like hear just what it is about it that is supporting people's practice. So that's good.
Yeah, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. I hope we didn't make your headache worse.
No, actually, it got a lot better.
Oh, good. Oh, very good. All right. Well, now that you've made the initial leap, you'll be able to do this more often, right?
Exactly. That's the whole
good. Thing. Good. All right. Thanks so much, Till.
Okay. Thank
good
you
night.
Very much. Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Till. You're listening to Open Air. Sorry, there's been some work going on behind the scenes, and it's still ongoing. And
yeah.
We are going to break here for a word from our
good.
Sponsor.
Michael, one thing. So I tried a landline. I tried no earbuds, and none of that seems to affect anything. So for those technicians working back there, that's what's going on this phone line.
Yes, and you're on a landline now, is that right?
No, I went off the landline because there was an echo.
Okay, so you're on the cell phone now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I hope to be back with some good information soon.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to your open air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Okay, let's try again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Michael. My name's Nancy. I'm calling from Canada.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you? Am I talking loudly enough? Or?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, good. Okay. Hi, Sherry. I understand that when I resist life as it is, I'll suffer. And I'm suffering right now.
Hi, Nancy.
Yeah?
I think we just lost Sherry.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she was just being really quiet.
So hold on just a second, and let's wait for her to call back in.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hello.
Okay, Sherry, are you there?
Goodness gracious. Is this a plot or something? okay,
there,
Nancy. Hello, Nancy.
I continued talking. I thought you were just being really quiet.
Such a good listener, huh?
I thought, wow, well, I guess I better just keep talking.
Yes, that's Zen. You know, they're known for silence. Yeah. Okay, so tell me.
Okay, so I understand that when I resist life just as it is, I will suffer. And right now I'm
mm-hmm.
suffering because I'm not accepting life just as it is right now, and it's very specific because
mm-hmm.
I've been practicing for a while, and I've been recording and listening, and although not in this last little while, I carry the recorder around with me, and I found the last email class was absolutely amazing. I've really been just seeing when conditioned voices come, when thoughts will pop, and I go, whoa, that's
mm-hmm.
amazing. You know, so I've been really finding the practice, you know, really transformational. And I don't know if the proper term is to say I've found my Achilles heel. And
uh-huh.
it's my child. And
uh-huh.
she's an adult, you know, and she's in another country, and she's had some really huge, you know, health issues. And it would really be helpful if I could get there to help her. In the meantime, I'm trying to get travel medical insurance because it could be disastrous for me to travel without it because of my own health. I'm experiencing my own guilt. This is not coming from her. I experience my own guilt around that. But it is this idea that this is someone who has a beautiful practice herself, lives life in such a healthy, engaged way, does everything right, and then just certain things just went every which way but right. And and I don't understand how to. I don't understand how to not resist life in this situation. I just resist what is. It's just, I talked to someone else who practices, and she says, yeah, when it comes to her daughter, she doesn't know what to do. She just hopes that someday she'll understand what people are talking about. But this is my place. It's with my child. I don't understand.
What Nancy? What is it that you don't understand?
Well, how I can't feel any peace in this.
Uh huh.
I can't feel any acceptance. I don't accept it.
You don't. Which part do you not accept?
Her suffering.
Uh-huh.
I can't accept her suffering.
And
I can't accept that I can't be there right away to help her.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
All life as it is, and I just can't accept it.
So you can't accept the fact that you can't accept.
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm carrying the recorder around, but I haven't, you know, I haven't.
Now, why do you think you carried around and haven't used it?
Because I have nothing to say, because I just can't accept right now. And I just can't see the point of it, you know, like, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I'm not even sure.
Okay. So there's in one of our books, I think it's The Key, we do this little exercise that
mm-hmm.
says, it starts off, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, you would say, I can't accept what's going on now. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the next change that we make in it is, I won't accept what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the third phase is, I choose not to accept what's going on right now. So here's my question to you. How is it helpful to you or to your daughter not to accept this?
It's not. It's probably, now that you've said it that way, it's probably more, I'm letting, you know, the conditioned voices say, you should be there no matter what.
Yeah. And aren't you trying? Aren't you trying to do that?
Yeah, but but the voices tell me, you know, forget the insurance, just go.
You know, Nancy, I'll tell you what I find unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
That voices of conditioning can do that sort of thing to good people. If I were going to put anything in my completely unacceptable category, that would be it. But you know what? It wouldn't do a darn bit of good to do that. Right? So I can only guess, we've established that you really don't want your daughter to suffer.
Right.
And I'm going to bet that your daughter really doesn't want you to suffer.
Right.
And so the net result of all of this can't accept is you're suffering. She's suffering over your suffering. You're suffering over her suffering. And what we've gained out of all of this is nothing anybody wants.
Right.
Right? So, go ahead.
She has said to me that she really misses me and you know, needs me there, wishes I was there.
Of course. Of course she does. And so the next question you might ask is, and do you want me to suffer hideously over that fact?
No, she doesn't.
No, of course. She would say, don't be silly, Mom. Of course I don't. I miss you. I wish you were here. And you respond, I miss you too. I so wish I were there.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm doing to make that happen. Yeah. And then what the two of you are sharing instead of suffering is love.
Yes. That's what she's actually been sharing with me, because she doesn't know I'm suffering as much.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then...
open with her about this. I just...
Oh, of really course not.
No, I
thought of course not.
No, this is all going on to this degree.
Yeah, of course. That's how conditioning operates.
Right.
It wants to get you off by yourself, torture you unto death, make sure that you keep it a secret. I mean, I'm shocked, actually, Nancy, that you were allowed to call into this show tonight.
Yeah, I was too. I kept thinking something wants me to hang up, and I just said, I'm not hanging up.
Yeah, that would be conditioning. Don't talk about this. Keep it a secret, and your suffering will be complete. Right? Yeah? And so, you know, the thing about it is, here's the philosophical part of it, that none of us, nobody who has ever lived has wanted to accept this. And that is that we are expressions of life. Life does with us as life does with us. We live for as long as we live. We get have whatever happened to us that happens to us, and there's not a darn thing we can do about it. Not a darn thing. We have absolutely no control over any of it, except the thing that is probably most important of all, and that is our ability to love unconditionally.
Yeah. You know, and this was why I said it was my Achilles heel, because I get that. I understand I have no control over anything.
That's right.
But all of a sudden I hit, it's like I hit a brick wall.
That's right.
Yeah, that's to anything else but this situation.
Anything else but this.
Else
that's
else
right.
But this.
That's right.
And I can't tell myself, I've heard you say to practice as if your, I can't remember if your hair's on fire or if your pants are
yep.
on fire. Because someday
neither one.
Yeah, something's on fire, because they will be. And I thought, I just needed to call in because I thought it's not, I'm not seeming to be able to get past this. And I'm
yeah.
not sleeping. And
yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And as far as I know, there's no trick to this. There's no good way around it.
Right.
But the thing that you can do for you and your daughter and all the rest of us
yeah.
is not succumb to that hateful conditioning.
Right.
You know, that if we knew what was really involved in having children, we wouldn't do it.
Right.
You know that, I don't know where it comes from, but that thing of having a child is the requirement to get used to your heart walking around outside your body.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that before, but yes.
Yes, there's no vulnerability like it. None. And yet, we are that vulnerable.
We are that vulnerable.
And there's nothing we can do. But if we knew that, if we truly knew that, then the choice that we would make is to love as much as we can possibly love every moment that we are here and have one another.
Thank you.
Because we don't know how long it's going to last, and it could be over in a second.
And that's exactly the reminder about the love that I needed.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I need to just record and listen. I'm going to get the key out and go to that section that you just pointed
yeah.
out.
Yep.
And work through that, and I'm going to do some recording and listening.
Yes. And you're going to remind her...
Yes.
That she is doing the best that she can do. She's doing everything she can do. And being tortured and punished about it is not helpful. So endless recordings about love, about how much you love your daughter, about how much you appreciate the mother of your daughter, how much love there is there, how grateful you are for everything about your relationship. You know, the world is full of mothers and daughters who can't stand each other. Right? So to have that kind of love for one another, it's just, it's everything.
It
and
is.
that's what you want your attention on, not those voices trying to talk you into suffering.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
You are so very welcome. You talk to me often, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. And
all right.
Thank you, everyone involved, Sangha and Michael and Jen and Ashwini and all of you. I just am so grateful. Totally grateful.
Yeah. All right. Well, you take care of you, and then that will make us very happy. Okay?
Thank you so much, Sherry. Have a
good
all
night. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, the third meeting support reps have been on our call, and they think that an AT&T cell phone might be an issue. So if you could call back in from your landline, why don't we try that? If you're
actually, I did that, but you didn't know I did it. So that's when I disappeared and needed to call back on this phone. So do we have time to do that?
Now.
No, I had to hang up because you couldn't recognize me.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we have time
for it? Yeah, sure.
Oh, Michael, willingness is my first name. So hang on a second. Okay, Michael, I'm on the landline.
Okay, good.
And
you're
I'm gonna
on
hang
the
up the cell line. And I'm gonna hang up the cell line.
Okay.
See if I'm the sinner. Hello?
Sherry, is that you?
It is. I was actually when you asked it was me, and Jen said, no, it's the monastery. I'm in the background screaming, no, it's me.
Got it. Okay.
And the clicking is gone.
I can hear the clicking.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to switch phones after I get you onto the next caller.
Isn't this fun?
This show is going to go down in history.
Yes. We haven't had one of these in a long time, have we, Michael? Do we want to make a podcast out of this?
Oh well. And let's see. Let me find the next caller here, because the start meeting has again cleared everybody who has raised their hand. Oh no, here they are. Hold on.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
This has been an eventful show, hasn't it?
It has been. Oh, what fun. And then when the clicking went away on my line, I thought, oh, don't you just hate it when there's a big problem and you find out it's you? Oh, well. What's going on in your world, Bob?
Well, I'm really happy to get on because I wanted to report a practice success.
Oh, yay.
As I'm sure you know, I've taken on a number of kind of physical challenges over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just this Sunday ran my first marathon.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And, you know, I was sitting here and listening to everyone, and I was thinking about, so what do I actually have to say about that? I think the one thing that I've been looking at is that the reason I think I like these types of things is that you get to a point, like with a marathon, like I've run 20 miles a number of times before ever having run this marathon. And, but when you kind of, you know, like you kind of add like a mile a week just to kind of, you know, build yourself up slowly, but suddenly you get to this point where you stop, you know, going, adding more miles, but the next time you run, you have to run 6 miles more than you ever have before, mm-hmm. and there's no way to know whether I can do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no way, and it puts me in this position of like, you know, this great practice place of there's no possible way I can know what's going to happen, so I can be in a conversation with conditioning along the way, or I cannot be in a conversation with conditioning. And as I was going along, you know, I got to like 22 miles and I thought that I kind of like hit the wall. Mm. But I kind of like was just kind of looking and saying, well, no, I think I can kind of walk this out, and then got going again. And I did. And the thing that I saw that conditioning really wanted me to do was to always be focused on the end. It was not a surprise. But like, so what's going to happen after I finish? Or what's going to happen when I don't finish?
Uh-huh.
And how do I know either of those things is going to happen?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But above all, don't be here where you are with the body that's doing this extraordinary thing.
Exactly. And I kept, you know, I mean, I've seen this over and over again, and I've recorded about it, and I've had a lot of practice with it, of like, the only thing that's going to help is if I come back and just literally take the next step, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else that I can do. Mm-hmm. And then if life informs me, if I notice something in my body or whatever it is that, you know, that I need to do something different, well, then I can do that. But that's not actually what's happening at this moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and like even after I like stopped, I could see a conditioning was like, and I got going again. you know, conditioning one to say, okay, well, so maybe you run a mile and you stop a mile and you run a mile and you stop a mile. It's like, I don't know that I need to do that. And end up running the rest of the way. And so it was just so helpful just to, you know, just to have that, you know, that place where, like, there's, it's just so obvious that this outside force is trying to keep me from actually being here doing what I've chosen to do.
Yes. Boy, that's it right there. The number of people who believe that that voice is somehow helping them, it's a very large, very sad number. But to realize that it actually doesn't know anything, first of all, that it is not there trying to be helpful, trying to make you successful, that in fact it's interfering with what it is that you want to do, and that its whole focus is on getting you not to be present to yourself and to the moment that you're in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's just so great just to, to have experiences which basically proves conditioning wrong, you know, to be building up that kind of, like, what always feels like sort of like just a case, essentially,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's more sort of, like, knowing at a experiential level that the best thing I can do is turn to my experience and to pay attention to what's actually happening in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Whatever we're doing, whether it's that challenging or just walking down the street.
Yeah.
There is no argument for being in conversation in the head, because the conversation in the head always is not of this moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was looking at it, you know, before I even kind of made the final, you know, to make the attempt to run it. And I was talking to people about it, and I kept saying, when are you going to run it? It's like, well, I'm going to try and run it here. You know, I actually don't know if I'm going to finish it. It kind of doesn't feel like it, based on my experience, how hard it's been to run 20 miles.
mm.
But I'm going to try.
Yeah, going to do my best.
Yeah, and it's like there's something that's just so freeing to be able to kind of, like, look at things in that open way, you know, of like, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to try it. I'm going to, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen this time, well, if I feel like it, it can happen at another time.
Well, yeah, and I have experiences of it not happening before, you know.
Yeah.
And it's and nothing bad happened.
Right.
I survived.
Nobody died. Right.
Nobody
died. Yeah. Yeah. All of those awful predictions. You didn't even feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've said this before, but it's like those awful predictions, once, you know, something has kind of, like, come to some kind of conclusion that proves them wrong, conditioning just moves on to the next thing. It doesn't care.
Right. Yes. Oh, and
And it just really exposes how much it doesn't care about anything that it says.
Yes.
It's only interested in keeping me in suffering.
Yes. It cares not about you. Yeah. I mean, human beings get so invested in right and wrong. And the conditioning that's operating, it has no interest in it. You were wrong about it. Okay. But let me tell you what's going to happen next and how you're going to screw that up and how it's going to, right? Prediction after prediction after prediction, it doesn't happen, but it's undaunted. Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to thank you and the practice and everyone, just because everything I've done over the past number of years has really just been content for my practice, and none of it would have been possible if I had just stayed in that kind of small conditioned world.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up, actually, because I have known you for a while, and I happen to know that before you started doing all of this stuff, you had a lot of physical issues, right?
Yeah.
A back that actually prevented you even from doing work that you wanted to do, let alone take on all of these physical challenges. So that's a part of the story for people who haven't been, you know, who haven't known you for all these years. Not only is this the content for the practice, but there's the element of having to overcome a tremendous amount of physical pain and physical issues and that sort of thing to get on the path of, well, let's just see what happens, let's see what we can do, let's see how far we can go, and then following that path to the kinds of things that you're talking about now, these kinds of subtle awarenesses about what karmic conditioning is doing to thwart us in each moment of our lives. So that small place that you could have stayed in could have also been a smaller and smaller place of being crippled by physical disability.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, it really is true that only by kind of attending to my practice has, you know, it's kind of what allowed me to essentially be willing to tune into myself and trust myself in life to inform me
mm-hmm.
about what to do about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, it really was. I mean, there is sort of that choice of like, well, I can stay in this smaller and smaller world, or I can choose to, you know, practice and see where that goes.
Yeah. It's really inspiring. So
yeah.
Thank you. It's one of those it's one of those places that I so want us all to keep in mind that, first of all, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is always trying to keep us in the smallest, most isolated, suffering place possible, and that with practice, there is nothing that we can't conquer. Now, that doesn't mean that physically we can overcome any and everything that might come our way. I'm not saying that. But we can conquer karmic conditioning in any situation.
Yeah, and I know we have to go, but I just want to say one quick thing, which is that I'm really glad that I didn't complete a marathon a number of times before I did now, because, you know, it didn't disprove anything to not have reached a goal before.
Right.
You know, I'm very happy to have done it this time,
yeah.
But, you know, it's just not, the outcome just isn't connected to the process.
That's right. It's not conditional. You're not operating in a conditional world, and that makes all the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I should let you go, but thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And to you, Bob. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Exciting. An exciting open air.
You know, I don't usually feel relieved at the end of open air.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad, I'm deeply grateful for the conversations we were able to have with people.
Yes.
And grateful that people are as patient as they are and able to stay with us as we struggle along. So
yeah, and the willingness that's expressed, it's really wonderful.
Yeah, and thank you, because I know you're just pushing buttons like crazy and trying to make it happen. So
yeah, better luck next week, huh?
Right, exactly. All right, thank
you. Okay, thank you, Sherry. Good night.